Welcome to 50 Words for Murder, the podcast where we delve into the stories behind the headlines. I'm your host, Justin, and on today's episode, this was recorded originally on YouTube. We have pulled the audio and repurposed it to the podcast so that you can take it on the go and listen to it at your convenience. If you would like to see these in real time, live, with any of the things that we're showing on the screen, you can go to YouTube and follow me at Justin on TikTok. You can also reach this YouTube channel by going to justinontiktok.com, going underneath my photo on the far right, and you'll see the YouTube link. Enjoy this episode. Hey everyone, hope you guys are having a good evening. Well, it's evening where I am, wherever you might be in the world. It could be morning, it could be afternoon, or you could be watching this later at whatever time you're actually, let me get this off. Sorry, this was not supposed to be here anymore. There we go. Right here, we have our TikTok people watching. We've pointed them at this so that they can kind of see it. So hopefully if you guys want to, y'all can walk, come over to YouTube. It's Justin on TikTok on YouTube. It's the same name. We have a lot of big updates regarding Micah Miller. This is one of those cases, y'all, where like I hadn't really posted much today. I've been doing a lot of stuff around the house, kind of keeping an eye out on things. And then all of a sudden, like all this stuff just keeps coming and coming and coming. And you're like, okay, well, shit, we got a big show that we need to do. And I am going to apologize for the later hour. There was a person who I've been trying to do an interview with, and I did that right before we got here. I'm not going to talk about the subject matter. I will say that there was a massive trigger warning, but it was a very short live, very short interview, 20-ish minutes of content. And I would encourage you to watch it because that person does need assistance and it does need awareness to that story. And I will just say it involves CSA and the FBI showing up to her house and arresting her partner. And that's what I will leave that at. So please go watch that. It's the one right before this one. It was done later, earlier this evening. Now, with that said, there's a lot going on with Micah tonight. Tonight's going to be the first time I talk about the father at any type of length. We're going to talk about the funeral home. We're going to talk about the gas station footage. We're going to talk about, you know, I don't know if any of you guys saw, what was that movie with, I can't remember what it's called. Basically, I was going to make a joke, but I can't remember the name of the movie, so the joke won't land. But anyway, I feel like JP leaves us a bunch of little breadcrumbs here, you know, about what's going on. But, you know, first things first, I got to pay the bills. Y'all know this is my full-time gig, so I got to make sure that, you know, you guys know what I have, what I do, et cetera. So let's get to that real quick. So with that said, a lot of y'all know that I do have the podcast. By the way, everything that I'm about to show you, as always, can be found on justinontiktok.com. Y'all know that I have the podcast, 50 Words for Murder. So these episodes, the ones that we're talking about like tonight and some of the bigger topics, those do end up as podcasts. So if you're not able to watch them here all the time, sometimes you want to watch them on the go while you're on your commute, go to 50 Words for Murder. It's Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeart, and basically anywhere that you listen to podcasts, you will find this one. So make sure to subscribe to it, hit it. It's free, and we move this stuff over. So after we get off this thing tonight, I will try to work on getting it either tonight or tomorrow rolled over so y'all can hear everything on that. The next thing that I want to talk about is the books, because again, this is really how I pay the bills, because books are expensive to write. I don't know if y'all knew that. And I wrote both of these to be helpful. So first one is Boundaries. Boundaries, if you were part of the 26% of millennials and Gen Z that are no contact with a parent and you need to explain this to your children in a way that doesn't vilify them, this is the way to do it. It's the only resource like this that exists. And basically, it allows you to explain to your kid why you're no contact in a way that doesn't vilify that person, a way that explains boundaries, explains conditions, and teaching your kids about boundaries to basically help them give them a better childhood and a better sense of autonomy than we had when we were kids. The next book is Surprise Are Okay, Secrets Are Not. This one is kind of self-explanatory. As I've said before, this one was born out of the stuff that I cover. I don't want to report on kids. I hate doing it. They need voices when they're silenced. They need voices even when they're still here and they're too young. I don't like doing those stories, but I do for the awareness. This book was designed to help prevent those stories from happening. This allows kids to know that they have a voice, a strong voice, and that they can use it and that they will be believed. One of the big messages in this book is that adults should not be asking kids to keep secrets. So again, justinontiktok.com, or they're actually still on sale in the TikTok shop for another 2 days. Through Saturday at midnight, they are on sale from a Mother's Day sale that I extended. So you can pick them up there. If you buy them through my website or through the TikTok shop, they will come signed. So just so you know. Now, that being said, let's get into the content that you guys want to talk about tonight, which is Micah. Oh, but before I do, absolute last thing. If you are new here, first time here on YouTube, I am trying to grow this channel. God forbid TikTok actually goes away in another seven, eight months. This is where most of the content will be. So smash that subscribe button. Subscribe is the same as follow. Doesn't cost you anything. Although if you want to join the channel, become a member, you know, nobody's stopping you. I'll put it that way. Now, that said, I don't even know where to start with this. There's so much today to talk about. So I think what I want to kind of do is, you know what, let's start with something that happened yesterday. So if you're listening, if you're watching this on TikTok right now with me, you're going to see the video, but you won't hear the audio. But basically JP was served yesterday. I'm going to go ahead and give a quick shout out to True Crime Mama on TikTok. She is a creator that I absolutely love. She makes great, phenomenal content. And I just stole this off of her page without telling her, but I know that she'll be okay with that, and I'll tell her later. But she had video of JP being served. So let's just watch that, because I think that's fun for us, right? It's fun. It's fun to watch. So let's go ahead and do that.
All right, here we are, process server. We are now at the home. We just witnessed him driving up. We know what's going on here. He could be in his vehicle. His window's dark. So, I didn't look over because I didn't want to be nosy. Ring the doorbell. We got dogs. Here we go. He's us. How you doing? I got some papers, John.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Pretty uneventful. Nice little neighborhood here. Until next time.
All right. So you can see he got served. Pretty. It went easy. Went smooth. Somebody in here said that none of this is fun, and I agree. It is a sad circumstance. But what is? Maybe fun's not the right word, but what is right is people being held accountable for their actions. Now, I don't know what those papers were that he was served. It could be involving a civil suit. It could be involved, which is, I'm guessing, what it is. But having him be held accountable after years of everything he's done, that is something that I am very okay with. I think that everybody's here for the downfall of this guy. Now, the next thing that I want to talk about real quick before I get into all of this is I want to talk about the statements regarding two things, actually, the FBI. First is it did come out today, I believe it was through Robeson County, that they are still ruling her death as self-inflicted. That is still the official answer, and that them asking the FBI for help in this matter has apparently nothing to do with the death of Micah Miller. So we were told that, saw that originally, that it had something to do with her death. They came out today and said basically, nope, that's not the case. And I was kind of rushed to put this show together, so I couldn't find that statement again to put it up here to show y'all. I might be able to have it for tomorrow. Actually, I won't be on tomorrow, but well, if I do, it'll be during the day. But I'll try to find it for tomorrow. But basically, that's what's going on. Just want to make sure that y'all are aware of that. The next thing that I want to say, and I've said this, talked about this at length a few times, but a lot of people are asking about it in the comments. I can see that on YouTube, which is about the fact that which I think this will be a good segue into the next part that I kind of want to talk about, but that he said that he laid with her four times. Now, first of all, it's hard to know if what J.P. Miller says is true and accurate, right? But I also think that when he speaks, he kind of tells on himself a little bit. Like I said earlier, he drops some breadcrumbs on us, okay? And the question that I have posed, and I'm not being accusatory, I just, with the stuff that has come out showing how perverse and how much of a deviant he is, his verbiage that he chose was that he laid with her four times, he tried to resurrect her, meaning that he's got a God complex, Jesus complex, because he thinks he can create resurrections. But he said he laid with her, and it makes me wonder, again, not accusing, you can make whatever determination that you want, and that's totally fine, totally up to you. But it makes me wonder if when he says he laid with her four times, if he meant it in a biblical sense. When, like, the Bible says, you know, don't lay with, you know, so-and-so, or so-and-so laid with so-and-so. You know, they're talking about, you know, relations. And it makes me wonder if that's what he's referring to, because with some of the stuff that has come out about him, frankly, my personal opinion is that I would not be surprised. But as we're talking about breadcrumbs, okay, there's also a sermon out there, and I'm not going to show you the whole sermon because, God, I cannot listen to this guy speak, y'all. And this is going to be the second video that I have, the only other video that I have. Everything else will be stuff that we chat about. It's about 14 seconds long. But I want you to listen very carefully what he said. In fact, maybe I'll even play it twice, given the situation. So let me just show you all this, because, we talk about him telling on himself. He tells on himself in the obituary. He tells on himself in the sermons. He told on himself about, you know, lithium and bipolar disorder and depression and suicidal tendencies. All of those things, right? So listen to this one.
People have left church after church after church after church because they just don't agree with one thing the authority figure did. I was thinking the other day, I wonder how many of you in here would be able to submit with a good attitude to a spiritual leader who committed murder.
All right, let me just play that for y'all one more time in case y'all are like, what did I just hear? Let me play it one more time.
Do you know how many people have left church after church after church after church because they just don't agree with one thing the authority figure did? I was thinking the other day, I wonder how many of you in here would be able to submit with a good attitude to a spiritual leader who committed murder.
Okay, y'all heard it. And for those of y'all watching on TikTok who didn't hear it, the end is, how many of you would submit with a good attitude to a religious leader who had committed murder? That's what he said. That is a weird thing to say, or submit to a pastor who committed murder. It's a weird thing to say in a church, in my opinion. Again, he tells on himself a lot, and I'm not being accusatory. These are his sermons, y'all. These are his sermons. These are what he's saying. But he's sitting here saying, how many of y'all would submit to a pastor who committed murder? It's weird. I don't really have much more to say about that than this. I don't have any much more to say about this. Somebody just said in the comments real quick on YouTube, why hasn't his lawyer told him to be quiet? I think he has. All of the stuff that we're showing, these are old. This is an old sermon. This is all an old sermon. I don't know how old it is, but he's not done a sermon since her funeral. Okay? He's not done a sermon since her funeral. So, but he's been, ever since the information was leaked about the FBI probe, he's gotten real quiet. His attorney, Tom Winslow, has gotten real quiet, right? And I guess that becomes another segue. Let me see if I can find that one. If I can't, then I will. Oh, I have to show it this way. Bear with me, guys. This one. Let's talk about Tom Winslow. Have y'all seen this article yet? They talked about it a little bit yesterday. I hadn't had a chance to read it, but mental health documents were not legally notarized. So let me tell you what was going on here. This is Tom Winslow. This is the person who helped J.P. Miller get the medical POA. It's been said the way that he's helped get the diagnoses, however you say it, taken care of. It's been talked about it being not totally ethical, etc. And apparently, the way the notarization was supposed to work in this case, and this is from a Myrtle Beach publication, guys. The way it's supposed to work is when you sign something like a medical POA, it's supposed to be signed in the presence of a notary. It was not notarized until the very next day without Micah being there. Not saying it's not Micah's signature, but with Micah being there. So I think that this is important to know because this is an attorney who has had some challenges with ethics. In fact, I believe that he's the same one. I'm pretty sure, like 90% sure, that he's also the same one who had to at one point defend his law partner for some type of impropriety or scandalous actions or something like that. And the thing about this case is this, you know, I try to be very logical. I try to be very pragmatic about things. And what ends up happening is that there's a lot of coincidences with this case. And as this discussion tonight goes on, you're going to see even more that are interesting. I'm probably going to save the best toward the end because there's a pretty explosive one toward the end of this. But there's so many strange coincidences that it's like you can't not take notice and be like, you can explain logically and pragmatically one or two or even three things, but when you're talking about several and every single day, there's more and more and more coming out. Like, for for those who are sitting here on TikTok, they can see this screen. They can see the little things that I have up that are ready to go up on screen. That's after I've taken some of them off as I've gone through them. And there's still a lot to go through, all things considered. And this is after me just going through yesterday and providing other big updates. And it's daily with this case. It's daily with this guy. It's daily with their family and their attorneys. So he has a medical POA, and I want to remind people every chance that I get, because as you'll find out as we talk about his father tonight, and we've talked about JP multiple times, this family, every chance they get, they want to make sure that they remind you that she was mentally sick, she was mentally unwell, despite the fact that she showed zero signs of mental illness, quote, until after she married JP. She got diagnosed with mental illness the same year, 2017, the same year she married JP Miller. Prior to that, her family, her dad, her sister, we had an interview last night. We went through that interview. I think it was last night. And in fact, I'm pretty sure it was. And they said, yeah, she had no signs. And prior to her getting married, for her being young, being a teenager, which was, by the way, when a lot, if you're going to have mental issues, a lot of them start to come out around the time that you are a teenager, 14, 15, 16, her family would have probably known, family would have probably seen. What I would really like to know, what I would really like to see is what doctor signed off on this, on these diagnoses that she had, allegedly. Does that doctor go to this church? Because we already learned that part of the commitment, like the institutionalization, the forced institutionalization, when Micah's family found out and tried to go get her, they were met with armed guards because JP's head of security, a guy named Brian, was married to a woman named Heather Wilson. I guess his name was Brian Wilson, but Heather Wilson. And she was the lieutenant head of Horry County or Myrtle Beach Police. So they met there with guards. She kept making sure that she got all the information and was feeding it right back to JP. You know? So these are the connections. So would it be surprising if he had, you know, people in the police that were on his side or payroll or doing favors for him? If he had lawyers doing these things, why would we think he didn't have doctors as well? You know? I think that that's logical at this point. So anyways, we'll take this part off here. And with that said, I'm trying to think which one I want to talk about next. Because there's several things here. You know, I think maybe let's talk about, before I get into his father, let's talk about his son. Okay? Let's talk about his son. So his son, Logan, apparently doesn't fall far from the tree. He was arrested in November of 2023 and November of 2024. Sorry, I don't mean to put that one up yet. For domestic violence. And I'm going to show you these court documents. Okay, so y'all can just see them. This is from January 17, 2024. Domestic relations. This is a divorce pending. Okay, I'm just going to show y'all these things so y'all can kind of take a look. The next one, court domestic relations, separate support and maintenance. So that's basically, you know, that's all self-explanatory, right? This one, domestic abuse, intimate partner. And it's got Logan Ryan Hardy. That is John Paul's son. So let me get the next one up. Sorry, the slides weren't prepared. Someone's only gave me a limited how many we could do. Again, separate support and maintenance is a different one. It's got the names on here. And let me see if I can get you guys the fifth one here. Finally, then we're going to talk about this. I just want y'all to be able to see everything that we're kind of talking about. Sorry, guys, trying to get it pulled up. There we go. As soon as it loads, there we go. And it's talking about the court affidavits of service and the people that involve motion of temporary relief, et cetera. So, yeah, apparently what he did is he broke a glass bottle over a woman's head. That's what he did. Okay. And apparently, according to these affidavits that are out there, according to JLR, in fact, let me see what JLR said exactly. I want to make sure that I don't paraphrase here. But basically, what I understand here is that the probable cause affidavit shares eerie similar details of what John Paul was doing to Micah Miller. So again, apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And think about the things that his father has been accused of. And if you don't know what his father's been accused of, you know what? We're going to talk. There's actually one more thing that I forgot. Because again, there's so much tonight. One more little tidbit before we talk about his father that I need to show you guys. In case y'all didn't see this. I put this in a video earlier today. Okay. Now, you can look at the day of this article. September 23rd, 2011. This article is talking about the same funeral home that handled Micah's remains. And as you can see what it says, lawsuit, funeral home, cremated remains before autopsy. So let me kind of tell you guys what went down in this situation. I will sum it up, give you the cliff notes. Okay, this is the same funeral home Micah went to. All right. Apparently what happened is a woman died and her family thought that it could have been a medical overdose and they were talking about an autopsy. The funeral home basically said that autopsies can be expensive, and odds are, given the situation, that the state wouldn't pay for it. So they said, hey, let me talk to my family. Maybe we will pay for it. Let's see. Don't do anything till you hear back from me. So while they're having this discussion, trying to figure out what to do, ultimately they decide that they'll pay for it. At the time of all this is going on, they go and get the death certificate because I think they need that for a next step is kind of the way that I read it or the way I understand it. And once they went and got the death certificate, that's when they found out that she had been cremated. They didn't even call and tell the family. They just did it. And the family had to find out via the death certificate. Okay. So this particular funeral home, the same one JP chose to use, has been in trouble for cremating remains prior to an autopsy. This is what I'm saying with like little coincidences here and there. It's all so strange. Like, no wonder they had no problem rushing a cremation. You know, this is what I talk about with coincidences. It's like you have, okay, well, you know, JP did it. Well, then this shows up. The funeral home's been in trouble before. That's a coincidence. The fact that his attorney's land backs up to the right to the same area where Micah's body was found or where she allegedly took her own life. It's a weird coincidence. Right? And we have another weird coincidence I'm going to show you guys this evening as well. And just a quick reminder for those popping in on TikTok, I'm live on YouTube right now. If you want to pop over, you're welcome to do that. See all that stuff there. But this is, again, another strange coincidence. But now, let's get into another family member. I want to talk about this guy, Reginald Wayne Miller. This guy needs to just not say things when they creep up in the old skull there. Because what he ultimately did today was possibly put a hole in the alibi. Okay? So he went on today. I'm going to pull this up for me to read real quick. Because I want to make sure I get it right. He went on today. Let me see if I can pull this up for you guys. I'll show this here. That she was prone to psychotic states because, again, everyone in this family, every chance they get, make sure to mention that she has mental illness. They want to make sure they continue to attack her, even though she's down. You know, he doesn't have to make a statement at all, right? He's 75 years old. He broke his silence today to defend his son in a lengthy statement, which, by the way, we're not going to read the whole statement simply for the fact that apparently it was riddled with grammatical errors. And I think that we can sum it up without reading it. But basically, he wrote a lengthy, strongly worded email to the Daily Mail, basically saying that his son had nothing to do with his daughter-in-law's April 27th death. He made several claims about Micah's mental state in previous incidents between the couple, including saying that at one point she shot up the neighborhood. This was 2 weeks after she married John Paul, and then she tried to shoot herself. She shot up the neighborhood until John Paul came out and calmed her down, stopped it. There's no reports of this. Somebody's firing a weapon, you know, in city limits, close proximity. No, nobody's called. I've not seen any reports about this going, and we've seen reports going as far back as 1998. but I've not seen any reports about this. And believe me, they would be out there. We would have them if they were. But supposedly she shot up a neighborhood before she tried to take her own life. And he's saying that all have been covered up to protect her memory. Well, nobody's trying to protect her memory, in my opinion. He said that she's a very, very sick young woman. The other thing, though, I want to talk about, I want to tell you guys a little bit about this guy. So y'all have heard and y'all have asked me a lot of things about this particular individual, about, if I put him back up here, about this guy. You've all heard about a lot of y'all probably heard about the dealings of Pakistan, the fact that he's been arrested, the fact that he's been, you know, charged with different things and accused of different things. So let's talk about what some of those things are. Okay. So real quick, things to tell you, because this is going to be relevant. He apparently had a taste of fame in the 80s after launching a religious TV show from his Gloryland Bible College, which is in Florence, South Carolina. He also told the Daily Mail that he has a video of Micah on a mission where she tells last year how she took a firearm to take her own life and pulled the trigger and the bullet locked in the gun. Now, this is the first time we've heard any of this, and I believe JP would have put that out there by now, but whatever. And he said that when this is all over and they see in the second week of marriage, she went and got a firearm and was outside shooting up the neighborhood when my son ran out to stop her. You know, it seems like anytime somebody's got a mental challenge, JP's at the center of it, but, you know, that's just me. They talked about the different times she spent in the mental facility. But now, like I said, let's chat about him. Let me go all past all of this. So he's been in jail a few times while I'm trying to do this off the top of my head. In 2014, he was charged with labor fraud, visa fraud, and failure to pay minimum wage. And in this particular case, he was accused of turning his Cathedral Bible College into a forced work camp. Overseas students told basically the people who were probing him that the classes they were taught were a sham, and that Reginald Wayne Miller, forced them to work at the college or his home for very little pay. He also claimed that if they refused, he threatened to have them deported. He ended up serving 15 months in prison following this arrest, was released after that sentencing as part of a plea deal, which saw his time served as punishment. He was then banned from possessing firearms. He was given home detention for a year and had to perform 500 hours of community service, as well as paying $75,000 in restitution to his victims, and then was handed a supervised release for the next 3 years. Okay? Now, he gives his reasoning for what happened, but whatever. Okay, he's basically gaslighting the situation. There were also two other charges where two students who had were, oh, this is him explaining, so never mind, sorry. The other charges, in 2006, he was charged with lewdness and prostitution after he reportedly exposed himself to an undercover male police officer in a bathhouse in Myrtle Beach State Park. That charge was ultimately expunged after he participated in a pretrial intervention program. There were also allegations that he made inappropriate advances towards two men whose wives were Bible college students. And then in the late 80s, following that short-lived TV success that he was part of a five-part news report in which anonymous students accused him of making inappropriate advances towards them. Okay? So that is who this guy is. And there's a whole lot, honestly, to talk about this guy. I've not had a chance to go down that rabbit hole because every time I'm like, okay, I think maybe today I'll make a video about Wayne Miller, something else like all this other stuff comes up. Okay. So this guy, y'all, this guy. Now, here's the things that I really want y'all to see. I'm actually very, very anxious to show you this. So if y'all have been following me for a while, if you were here for the last week or so, or since the surveillance footage came out, I'll say, one of the things I said that was kind of odd that was pointed out to me, and then I kind of looked closely at it, was that when Micah's walking into the pawn shop, there appears to be a truck, a black truck, you know, through the glass doors that you can see. And I will say that I own a 2019 Ford F-150. Okay. So I know what the grill of that looks like. And it's kind of blurry, obviously, but I was like, that's either the grill of an F-150 or an older Tundra. That's what that is. It's not a Dodge. It's not a Chevy. It's one of those two trucks. And I'm like, okay, that's a coincidence because that's what JP has. But, you know, an F-150 is a popular truck. A Tundra is a popular truck, right? So maybe not overly a coincidence. A lot of people are going to have a black F-150. I have a black F-150. So, I don't think too much of it. But then the surveillance footage for everything else came out today. And you want to know what's in the gas station footage? I'm going to show you. Here you go. Starting at the top, 13:30 and 19 seconds, you can see an F-150. Black F-150. You see it again, 13:30 and 22 seconds. 13:33 and 16 seconds, you see it again. And then you see it kind of turning around and leaving. All right, I believe that Honda could be Micah's. I can't remember, but in the last two pictures, or it's the one that's leaving. I'm not really quite sure. But it's interesting. Again, I'm not saying that it's his truck, but it's interesting that he has a black F-150, and black F-150s keep showing up in surveillance footage on the day that she passed away. So this then goes again by one of those coincidences that you really can't ignore. You know, and he did get a new truck. He traded one black F-150 for another black F-150. So he still had a black F-150. Now, this one looks like it would have been the older one because he's got the platinum now. And the platinum, the tailgate has the silver on it for the platinum. And as somebody said, that truck kept peeling off and circling around every few minutes. And again, they didn't check her car for trackers. They didn't do an autopsy. They didn't check for GSR. None of it. So this is what I'm saying when I say every day, some holy cow, oh my God, mind-blowing revolution comes out again on this guy. Now, he has been quiet. He took his TikTok down after he spiraled. I'm guessing I would have to guess that his lawyer said, like, dude, what are you doing? And, you know, you have all of this happen to her right after we find out there's a probe that allegedly she knew about going into the finances of the Dare to Care Africa mission, the mission, the same one that I've said every time that's in the obituary, which, by the way, if y'all have not read Micah's obituary that he wrote, I'm telling you right now that you are missing out. You have never seen an obituary like this. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. And the more you read it, I've probably read that thing 10 times, and every time I read it, we find something new. It is clearly written by him. He puts his pictures in there, including one where he's front and center, you know, overshadowing her. He talks about so many material things, how she was so good at helping him. It is a terrible way that's going to be there forever to remember this woman. And at the end of the day, let's say that he didn't pull the trigger. Let's say that ultimately she did. And that's the official answer. That's what happened. Okay. Let's just say that's the end all be all of it. Then, like I've said before, we need to stop focusing on who pulled the trigger and why the trigger was pulled. This is a woman who had four trackers found on her car that they know about. This is a woman who was being stalked and harassed, that there are police reports showing this. There are journals and binders of SA and the things that he would force her to do, the affairs, which is a form of emotional abuse as well. This guy is not a good guy. He shouldn't be running a church, that's for sure. And everything he does is sketchy. And I'll tell you one thing that's good. If y'all haven't heard me talk about this before, with the FBI investigating him, him and Tom Winslow, people who are being named in Solid Rock and Winslow Law Firm, they are persons of interest. They are not suspects. They are not accused of a crime. They are just persons of interest. They are just being investigated. Okay. But the FBI has a 97% conviction rate. All right. So if they decide to bring charges, he's going to catch charges and he's probably going to go down for them. And it sounds like it's headed that way because they were apparently already investigating him on that prior to her death. Now, at the same time, could the FBI be, you know, I don't know then what Robeson County is asking for the FBI in FBI's Attorney General's office for involvement in. If it's not the death, they said it wasn't the death today. then what do they need help for? Because the only jurisdiction that they have in regard to this would be in regard to her death, which is also weird when you look at the stories around that. Everything surrounding this woman's death, whether she took her life herself or not, even if she, everything is strange. There are so many strange coincidences. It's very, very weird, the entire thing. This is a man who also hides his assets under the church. He, 2 months after she filed, Michael filed for divorce against him, he put the church in Solid Rock's name, sold it, if you will. He sold his shares in the Crocodile Rock Piano Bar, which is a hugely, wildly popular piano bar in Myrtle Beach, which in the hot season probably rakes in money. Put him in his son's name. He's got 29 vehicles registered to the church. Look, it's tax fraud at that point. And from my understanding, they're investigating him on RICO statutes, which is, you know, how they get mobsters often. And we've talked about this a few times. You know, they weren't able to get Al Capone on murder charges, but they were able to get him on tax evasion. You know, it's that kind of stuff. And that's what they're looking at. And you know what? Forensic accountants are really, really good at what they do. And even a judge that's fresh on, you know, on the bench can look at what he's doing and say, okay, you have all the stuff, you're transferring them at these weird times into your church's name. And, you know, it's very, very strange. At the end of the day, this is a man who chose to use God to further a personal agenda, to get enough wealth and power in his circle of influence to do something, to be someone, to control and manipulate his wife, to control and manipulate his congregation. And I am here for the downfall of this man. And if he gets a RICO charge, that's federal. And again, 97% conviction rate. And you can bet that if they find one, they're going to start looking into more, and they're going to find a whole lot more. Because similar to Alex Murdoch, he thinks he's the smartest one in the room. And Alex Murdoch, who is definitely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, more intelligent than J.P. Miller, made a lot of sloppy mistakes when it came to the finances. And this guy is doing it too, in my opinion. I mean, all the places that you're looking at are high cash flow, and it's a great way to launder money. And again, I've said this multiple times, but I'm going to keep saying it because I think it's important to know. I want to see, you know what? Here's the thing. I'm happy to say all of this stuff every time I come on here, as often as J.P. Miller and his family feel the need to continue to berate and criticize a dead woman. A woman who can't defend herself. At least they can defend themselves. So this is interesting. I'll post this up on my Instagram so y'all can grab it and take a look. I haven't seen anybody take it and put it this way like I did tonight. So I think it's a really easy way to share it for those of y'all who want to look at it. But this case, y'all, this case is something else. Anyways, this is what I got for tonight. I will be rolling this over to a podcast. I also will, for a few more minutes, go back live on TikTok for anybody who wants to see it there. Definitely drop your thoughts in the comments. Again, if you are new here, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. I'm trying to, like I said, growing this channel. If you like what you see here, we are, you know, TikTok ends up going away. This is where everything's going to be going on. And quite frankly, I love doing these shows on here. I think it's so much easier to be able to show you guys what we're talking about, videos, et cetera, and do it all in one go than trying to explain it over and over in a TikTok and not even be able to show half of this stuff. So again, hit that subscribe button. We go live quite often. Make sure that you hit the bell so you get notified when I do. And I will see you all tomorrow. Have a good night.